Hey, Drew.
Hey, John.
Ghosts.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Ourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Boo.
Yeah, that's the classic sound that they make.
No, boo.
Are you scaring me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Boo.
Ah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. Why are you scared of ghosts?
We talked about that.
We have. But you don't believe in ghosts.
No.
Which is awesome.
But I am scared of them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't read books, but
I think they're great.
I think words are awesome.
It's like, I don't know. Well, my argument, I don't know if I made this argument in the Creeps episode or not, but my argument is that you don't have to believe in something for it to scare you.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's just a valid argument.
You watch any movie, read a book or whatever, and it can scare you. You know, the events are untrue,
mm-hmm.
but you get caught up in the moment. And I do. I can really wind myself up.
Now, is that... Okay, we already established that in a situation mm-hmm. where you are physically present in a place...
A spooky place. A
spooky abode.
Yeah.
And circumstances that mm-hmm. one finds spooky, mm-hmm. creepy, mm-hmm. occur,
mm-hmm.
you are scared. Now, does yeah. that apply to situations where you are not
in that kind of
present, like, so if I relay a ghost story to right. you right now, do yeah. you get scared?
I could.
Okay,
it would depend on the ghost story.
Are you saying I can't tell a good ghost story?
No, I'm sure you could. It wouldn't take much, I think.
Okay,
with me, I really purposely avoid ghost stories because they.
Mm-hmm.
really creep me out in a really, really real way. I seriously, I mean, you know, and nothing, it's funny because like stories about demons or other paranormal
chupacabra,
right? That stuff doesn't like it, just being told something like that doesn't scare me,
mm-hmm.
But ghosts do. Like, just being told about something ghostly scares me.
Like, so if I were to say, one time there was a person.
Is this true?
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah, let's go with that. It's true. One time there was a person.
Yeah.
Who had green skin.
Okay.
And everyone asked, why do you have green skin? And every time this person was asked that, he would respond, because I'm a ghost. Boo. Are you scared now?
No. I like that story, though. I remember when I was a kid and I went to a sleepover
mm-hmm.
with a bunch of friends, like a birthday party.
Oh, that's like a breeding ground for ghosts.
I know. Tell me about it.
No, I mean, like, not ghost stories, but like real ghosts.
And real ghosts.
Like, they
yeah,
really
absolutely.
Like
they love
child sleepovers.
They love yeah. collections of children
yeah.
at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like they're on a list or something. It's like they get an email and they're like,
hey,
we need here's where all the children's yeah. parties are tonight.
There's like Facebook events for them.
Yeah.
I remember a friend telling a story at this party that. Just like I couldn't sleep after he told it, and it was really simple. It was basically this kid or his sister, I think may have been his sister,
mm-hmm.
had woken up one night and looked, you know, across the room, and on the wall there was like this ghost dog, like looking vicious and you know, growling and stuff across the room. And that just, I mean, that's all it took to really freak me out. Because, like, I put myself into that situation. I imagine myself
waking up and seeing a ghost dog.
And I just, ugh.
As opposed to a ghost dad.
That wouldn't be as bad. It's Bill Cosby, isn't it? That'd be great. Ghost dad. If so any dad, if there's any ghost going to show up, I hope it's ghost dad.
It better be ghost dad. All right.
Why do they say boo?
I don't know. See, that's interesting. I think that gets to the root, an interesting, curious factoid.
Can
curious,
you do an alliterative phrase?
A curious conundrumous.
Conundrumnal?
Conundrumal.
Conundrumnal?
ghost thing.
Curious ghost thing. Conundrumnal ghost thing.
That we automatically assume that they're out to scare us.
Yeah.
Always.
Usually we assume that they are vindictive or out to do us harm.
Well, yeah.
Can they do us harm? Let's set some parameters.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's for the
some paranormometers.
Some paranormal parameters. Some parameters.
Okay.
For the purposes of this conversation, let's assume ghosts are real.
Okay.
All right.
That's easy for me to do.
Well,
ghosts are real.
Ghosts are real. Can they hurt us? Can they physically interact with us? I know that there is a movie that puts forth that should a ghost get angry enough or harness certain emotions, then the ghost can interact physically with the living world.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know what movie that is?
I have my guesses, but please.
The movie's called Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll, can you like imagine if you're a kid, let's say you're a 13-year-old now in 2012, right? And you love like horror movies and scary stuff. And like you are old enough to watch these scary movies. Your parents are like, you're old enough to watch these scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
But your parents...
You're 13. You've reached ghost age.
Yeah. Well, and your parents won't let you, like, choose your own Netflix movies. Like, you have to ask them, like, will you please...
Oh, okay. Can you put on...
Put this... Yeah.
Ghost Story X.
Put a movie. Yeah. Yeah. Give me a scary movie.
Yeah.
And let's say these parents are oblivious.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
And they're like, okay, well...
Ghosts are scary.
Let's say Ghost. Oh, there's a movie called Ghost.
Okay. Easy.
So they rent
PG-13.
And then you're
He's 13.
Yeah, you're that
Perfect.
Kid. All right, Ghost.
And you're like, what's with the pottery?
Hey.
Is that a ghost? Is that a clay ghost?
Where are the ghosts? In that pottery scene, isn't he Whoopi Goldberg? Or is he a ghostly man? No, he's not dead yet, is he?
No, yeah, that's...
Is he dead yet?
He's not dead yet at that point. But later he is, isn't he? I think there is a scene where she works, does the pottery, and Whoopi Goldberg is there.
Yeah.
Or no, I don't think Whoopi Goldberg is there. But I think he's there with her, and he, like, you know, puts ghostly, his arms around her.
Ghostily puts his arms around
right.
her.
Right, and she senses something.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
And so she's, like, picturing back. She's, like, thinking, oh, yeah, this is what it felt like for his fingers to be here.
In the time of my life. Is that song? What song do they play?
Oh, man, that'd be great. Dirty Dancing. She's just dancing with nobody.
Well, it's Patrick Swayze.
And then he like, lifts her up, and she's, like, floating there, and there's nobody holding her up.
What song do they play during that sequence?
Righteous Melody.
What?
Righteous Brothers, Unchained Melody.
How's it go? I know that, and I don't know by the.
Oh my love, my darling. for your touch.
Yeah.
Oh, my love, my darling, I'm hungry for your touch.
You're that kid.
Oh, God.
And you're like, where's the ghost?
I was that kid.
Well, and then
I was like 9 years old when that movie came out, and I remember like my parents watching it and being like, this is not scary.
Yeah.
But then, well, there was one scary part in that movie.
There's one legitimately scary part in that movie.
That's pretty terrifying.
When the skeezy, scheming best friend, in quotes.
Right, right. The mark of... He was the mark to Patrick Swayze's Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
From The Room.
You're right.
Yeah.
But it never went this far in The Room.
No. No.
Although there's some parallels there, mm-hmm. you know?
Uh-huh.
Let's not spoil The Room, though.
Okay. But yeah, the best friend. Tony was his name, I think.
Who knows?
Maybe.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But he...
He's that guy.
Spoiler. If you know, Ghost, we're going to spoil Ghost right now. I'm going to spoil it.
1989's finest. 88, 89, something like that.
Patrick Swayze, as a ghost, bodily pushes him bodily. Yeah.
He gets angry enough that he can interact with the real world,
and
he shoves
the guy, the best friend, in quotes, into a pane glass window, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... At first he's okay, but then like the top half of the window slides down and stabs him to death.
Pales him, yeah.
And then he turns into a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Whoa, this is crazy!" Like he at first he's like, "What the weird?" Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly these weird—they
were sort of like space invaders.
They were. They were like shadow creatures.
Yeah.
And they kind of grew up from the ground, right?
They came out of the shadows that were already in the room. And
yeah.
Like, it's like the shadows came to life and attacked him.
And then dragged him to hell.
Mm-hmm.
One assumes.
Yeah, right. Let's not, you know.
He's not going to heaven.
Ghost 2 could be coming, you know.
Oh,
we don't want to assume that's, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's creepy. And he's like screaming the whole time.
Yeah, that's a legitimately scary part of Ghost, the movie.
Yeah. So there's one.
Yeah,
that's like maybe a 45
second. So that kid
second
is fulfilled in that one moment. Like, wow, cool. This part's cool.
Yeah, and then he goes to school, and all of his drawings have little creepy shadow people.
What's that from?
It's from Ghost. He's like the only one who's seen Ghost, and he tells people that it's like, oh,
but
man,
he
it's really intense. There's this part where
he only tells
and pretty soon everybody's
scene
watching the movie, and
like,
this is how that movie became like a sensation. Yeah. It was like. Somebody didn't want to feel dumb for watching it, so
awesome.
They're like, "Oh, there's this really awesome scary part." Everybody goes out and buys
the
ticket.
You know, and the man who trained Patrick Swayze how to be a ghost that can move things, he was kind of scary.
The guy on the subway?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was creepy.
He had some creepy moments.
He was just yelling.
Yeah.
Know? Which is, I mean, that's actually like a common trait, I think, in ghost stories, is like, they just yell a lot. They're just very angry. But going back to kind of that root of us assuming that they are there to threaten us,
mm-hmm.
like it, I think it's weird how we as a culture, it seems like we can't accept that ghosts are just there. You know,
that
like
they're just
ghosts
hanging out.
Just don't appear. Like we don't assume that everybody who dies becomes a ghost, right?
Yeah.
There's always some specific circumstance that legitimizes the existence of somebody as a ghost.
The way, the way it's always that I've always heard is the reason a ghost stays in the world of the living or haunts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is because they were wronged or they have something that they need to do, right?
They're on a mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they're, or that they're emotionally, they don't, that, so that's what, sorry, that's one reason they, people give is because they've been wronged and they have to right the wrong or yeah. get, you know, something done. The other one I've heard is that they don't know, that they're very confused and that they don't know they're supposed to move on.
Mm-hmm. They don't go into the light like they're supposed to. Yeah,
that's the dumb one. Because it's like, you dumb ghost.
Just you're not go, alive anymore. Yes. Go on, get out of here,
quit
man.
Crying in the corner and go to heaven or wherever.
Whatevs.
I'm sorry.
You're really bringing us down
yeah,
here.
Yeah, quit.
In the living world.
Yeah, stop screaming. Those are the reasons that I've always...
Yeah.
Heard.
Yeah.
Are there any others?
Well, variations on those.
One, you know, perhaps some sort of cultish ritual has been performed. Perhaps some sort of shamanistic proceedings have happened to bind the spirit to this world in some way.
What do you know about
unwillingly.
That?
Unwillingly. No, I don't know anything about it.
You introduced it. You better be
well,
able
I'm just
to
saying,
back
it up. You know, like, I would think that that's a thing, right? Where people pull a ghost into this world, you know, to wreak havoc on someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want to be here, but that's they've been one. Wrenched from the purgatory that they've been
where
in.
Ghosts hang out.
And the ghost hangout.
Maybe like that waiting room in Beetlejuice?
Yes.
That's where they're all hanging out.
We should talk about Beetlejuice because he's the ghost with the most.
He is.
But they do tend to always want to be... They want to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't... Can they? We never came down to a
whether
decision
or not they can
this.
Actually hurt you?
We know how what ghost posits...
Mm-hmm.
Right, that they can, if they harness emotion, they can move things.
Mm-hmm.
Poltergeists, right?
Yeah, move chairs around, move, turn on faucets.
Yeah,
etc.
They seem to arrange things, poltergeists, into strange configurations. They like to open doors, right?
Right.
They like to turn on faucets. I mean, proof positive with your experience
right, yeah.
as a
yeah, proof positive,
teenager.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to the Creeps episode, and you'll hear quite a terrifying tale
in broad daylight.
I remember seeing an episode of some, maybe it was an Unsolved Mysteries. Cause sometimes I think they would go paranormal.
Oh yeah, those were the creepiest ones.
And there was an episode talking about this family who supposedly lived in a house that was haunted, and this ghost kept, like, you know, they would hear "get out" or some creepy voice, right? Or the kid would be like, "Oh, some man stood by my bed," you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think what confirmed it for them was the husband was like painting in the garage. You know, like just
like you do, you paint,
not like doing a painting,
just like painting the garage specifically. Yeah.
He stepped away, set the brush down on the paint can, you know, across the top, stepped away to like eat a sandwich. And he came back and the brush was sitting in the paint can handle first.
Huh.
That's just like a dick move.
That's pretty nasty of that ghost. Yeah, because now he's going to get paint on his hands.
That's a mess.
I thought you were going to be like, and when he came back, there was a message painted on the wall. But no.
That would have been cooler. Or he came back and the painting was done.
Yeah, right.
This is a helpful ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I finished it.
Or maybe there was an earthquake and the paintbrush slid into the...
Yeah, like a minor earthquake. I don't know.
There was some story on Unsolved Mysteries I remember about a ghost setting a house on fire to try to get people out, which I feel like that's
going too far.
That is really, in most instances, the closest I can think of to a ghost physically harming someone directly is a situation like that where it's the ghost itself or whatever is not actually terminating the life of someone or physically afflicting someone. They are causing circumstances to happen that, and those circumstances result in someone getting hurt or whatever. So that's definitely a gray area. Now, the one exception to that is the story.
Gray ghost.
What?
The gray ghost.
The gray ghost.
That's a thing. Just keep going.
The one exception to that is the story of The Entity. Are you familiar with this? It made the movie and the book, The Entity.
No.
So this woman who she was like living on her own, and she moved into this house, and she started getting attacked, like assaulted, physically assaulted, and there was nobody there. Now, I don't know. I never heard the final verdict or semi-final verdict on the actual story, because this is based on a true story. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they concluded, I know they did, like, scientists did, like, psychiatric evaluations on her to see if maybe she was inflicting this, you know, harm on herself. And my belief is that the results were sort of inconclusive on that.
Okay.
But that is a rare instance I can think of where a ghost is physically harming someone.
That...
allegedly.
The arson thing.
Mm-hmm.
The house going on fire seems like a step too far.
You think?
I don't expect ghosts to go that far.
Which is why it's really creepy when they do.
I find it seems like ghosts' methods are mostly should be ineffective. Like, all they are really doing is like talking to you or looking weird at you.
Moaning.
Yep. Moving stuff around.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of a case of them setting a house on fire or assaulting someone.
It's rare.
I just don't know that they can do it. Was it a psychokinetic fire?
I don't recall. I don't remember how the fire got started or if they even could attribute it to anything specifically.
Right.
But that's the thing, like, you know, it could be something as simple as a cigarette that fell out of an ashtray.
Could be as simple
did
as
did somebody push it out of the ashtray?
We don't know.
Maybe, you know, maybe. Huh. But you're right, it's mostly it's low impact evidence, right? It's stuff that doesn't, you know, you don't most cases where, like, if there's some sort of physical problem, like somebody manifests wounds or something like that, it gets attributed to something else. You know, they chalk it up to a possession, or they chalk it up to some kind of natural phenomena. It's usually, in a case of a ghost, it's more like just somebody, and this I think is maybe the classic scenario, where it's someone who just seems to be repeating something over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, where somebody will witness a figure doing something on repeated occasions, and they're just doing the same thing over and over again. That's, to me, is sort of like the typical ghost story, which kind of, I guess, goes along with the idea that they're just sort of trapped here, right?
Yeah.
It's a little less straightforward when, I think, when you go with the idea that they are trying to accomplish something, you know, or, you know, like they're on a mission. They need to set something right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that makes a good movie, a good ghost story movie. But in most real instances of ghosts, it seems to me it's more like they just show up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in most cases, they're not doing anything specifically. They're just, like, wandering a hallway or something.
That's creepy enough.
It can be, I think, in the right circumstances.
It is. I didn't say it like that.
But it is.
Uh-huh. If I saw a ghostly man walk by the door here, I'd freak out. Wouldn't you freak out?
Yeah.
Sure, he wouldn't even have to and make a weird face. He could just walk by it.
But is it because it's a ghost that you're freaked out, or is it because it's something you're not expecting?
It's a ghost. That's what it is.
Okay. So if somebody else just suddenly came through the doorway,
like my
dad, you wouldn't be scared. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what if your dad just walked through the door?
I would have a reaction of, what are you doing here?
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't get scared.
What if it's a total stranger?
Ooh.
But it's a real person, flesh and blood.
Just walks by?
Yeah.
I would be really confused. I would just be like, who's that? And I guess they have someone else over.
Now, what if it's a real person wearing makeup that looks very ghostly?
Then I'll get scared.
Okay.
So ghosts, I think in the real ghost world, in quotes, ghosts can't do a whole lot. I think they're the ghosts that kind of just, they're doing one thing over and over. Some of them are mean and they, you know.
Angry.
They yell at you or they get mad. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not.
Well, you're like invading their space.
They may be malicious, but they can't actually do anything.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if ghosts are going to be real, if I'm going to believe that ghosts are real, then that is how I will believe it.
Okay.
Partly because if there's a justification for the existence of ghosts, it to me would have to be sort of linked with the idea that energy cannot be created or destroyed, right?
Right.
So when a human dies, I guess when any living thing dies, the energy, something happens.
It's got
to
go somewhere.
Right.
Right.
So maybe that energy lives on in some form.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what a ghost is. Now, I don't really buy into that necessarily. I don't know if I do, but to me, then that would line up more with the idea that a ghost can't really do anything physical. They can only be there.
Okay.
So that's one. So we've made that, or we drew a line in the sand there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Why? What does a ghost think it's going to accomplish?
I think it depends on the circumstance. Like, I think, I think as far as what we've defined as real ghosts, right? In most circumstances, they are not, they don't have a very elaborate goal.
Yeah.
You know, maybe let's say that the most threatening goal that they have is to get you to leave.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So like they are in a space and they don't want you there. Like you are considered an invader to their space and they want you gone.
Yeah.
So that's what they want to accomplish.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to do that.
Yeah. You
know, if it's
whatever they can do.
Right. And I think that there are some legitimate cases, legitimate, by legitimate, I mean there are cases that fit that profile. There are a lot of case examples that fit that profile where something is clearly not happy about somebody being there. Mm-hmm. And like you can tell, I guess, typically when the phenomena ends after a person leaves.
Yeah.
Like now, and this is maybe a bad example because it's been interpreted and reinterpreted so many times, but like the Amityville story.
Okay.
So the Amityville story is that It originated with this family moving into a house in Amityville, which
scary
I think
house,
is in
scary
New
looking
York,
house,
maybe. Right? Yeah,
the house already looks scary.
It's a creepy house. Now, the house in the movie is not actually the real house, and the actual house is it's different. Okay. It doesn't actually have those windows and things that look like eyes.
That's the scary house.
I think, if I'm remembering this correctly,
are
that's
sure?
actually the neighbor house is
nice.
The one that has that. But when they made
they
the
got
story,
the set.
They were like, well, this house isn't creepy. This looks like a normal house.
Who directed the first movie?
Oh, I don't know. Some dude.
They got to, they're like, we're going to film on location. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And they like, got there. And he and
crickets.
The crew, he's walking the crew up to the neighbor's house. He's like, this is it.
Yeah.
Look how creepy this place is. And then, like, one of the...
And the location scouts, yeah, he just goes, guys! And
this
he's
is
pointing
it.
to the other house.
It's, yeah. like, really nice.
It's a ranch. Yeah. It's just a very pleasant...
And the director's like,
He runs over and he turns the guy's hand.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
Yeah, looks creepy. Yeah. So anyway, apparently the family moves into the house and they start having... experiencing phenomena, and like as the story goes, a priest comes to bless the house,
yeah,
which I guess is something that happens.
Well,
I don't
the
know.
House sneezed.
Good call. Hopefully you. The priest brought along a tissue,
yep.
as well, because otherwise it's sort of like a half-hearted bless.
A house-sized yeah. tissue.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
or a handkerchief,
tarp.
Right?
And the priest hears a voice, and it says, "Get out."
When he says, when he blesses the house.
Bless you. Get out. Yeah. And that eventually works. Like, eventually they just get fed up and they leave.
Yeah.
And everything's cool. They never experience the problems again.
That family.
Right.
Right.
Right. So that I think is like a textbook example of that phenomenon,
yeah.
where they are trying to get somebody
out.
Out. Yeah.
Get out.
I think it's hard. I can't really think of any other instances where there was like a very clearly defined goal that one
right.
determined, you know. I'm thinking back to like other ghost stories that I've read about or seen recently. And it's usually more like it's more like just people are sad about their circumstances and it's almost like they may not even be trying to get attention for those circumstances. It's just that like they're so upset about them and they're stuck in that place that they get noticed, you know?
Mm.
But there are like, references to stories where ghosts had a more apparent goal. Like I'm thinking of Red Fox, the comedian. Sam Fox. Sam, who's that guy from Sanford and Son?
No idea. I don't know their names, their real names.
Sam, it was Sam something. Sam Fox? Sam Fox, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Sanford and Son, the dad on
All
Sanford
right.
and Son. He had a house in Las Vegas and he died. He may have died in the house. And it became like an advertising agency or a real estate office or something.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after the company moved in, established their offices there, people would come in the morning and there would be file cabinets open and papers tossed out everywhere.
Okay.
That if you assume that is the result of a ghost.
Yeah.
That is clearly a ghost that is operating with an intent.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's just an intent to mess with people. Maybe it's
sure.
not necessarily to get them out of the place, but it's just like it's a mischievous you
yeah.
know, ghost or whatever. Which is an interesting concept, if you go with it, that there are ghosts out there who exist
just to mess with
just
people?
To create chaos and anarchy.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. That's like the cool ghost.
Yeah.
That's the ghost that put that guy's paintbrush
yeah.
handle first into the paint can.
Yeah, it's almost like you can almost hear him going,
this guy's going to flip out.
What? Let's wait around here.
Yeah, watch.
Stand around the corner.
Look, he's pissed. You got to clean that now.
Good job. Good one.
They high five.
Yeah. Then they go pick on some kids.
At a slumber party.
At a slumber party. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about like these, like the ghost hunter shows?
That's a loaded question.
What do you mean?
Because
okay, I won't.
How do I feel about
it? Let me rephrase it. I'll rephrase it.
Okay.
Ghost hunters. Thoughts?
I love those shows.
Okay.
I enjoy them.
Yeah.
I love watching them, but I love watching them in the way that I love watching terrible movies, mm-hmm. you know, because they are so absurd and forced.
Yeah.
And goofy that I enjoy watching them for that value. But I find it very difficult to take them seriously. And I feel like they are a detriment to
legitimate.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they are a detriment to the idea that we've established
yeah.
of a legitimate ghost okay. in real life. You know, I yeah. feel like they, that model mm-hmm. of investigative,
ghosting.
Right. It is, it reflects poorly.
It's a sham.
It is.
It's a scam.
It's very, very
it's a scheme.
Questionable.
Yeah.
And it's bothersome because they visit locations that many people, arguably even a majority of people,
yeah.
would say they believe are
right.
actually haunted. And I think they sort of muddy the waters, you know, by going into these places and being like, oh, I heard this. I felt yeah. cold or something here. And if people see that, that becomes the defining characteristic of that place to them. You know, when you watch this show, it's wherever the memorable scenes took place, mm-hmm. like that becomes like sort of the face of that place or the face of that haunting or that ghost. And I feel that that's maybe not fair to some of those places.
Some of those ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a fakery.
Maybe
it's a carry-on.
It's an exaggeration, okay. I think. I don't necessarily, and I'm not going to say that they are faking anything.
Have any of those shows ever like caught anything on video?
They've
apart
caught
from those orbs that are actually motes of dust.
Typically, yeah, they see orbs, or they'll
which
capture
aren't.
A shadow.
Yeah.
Or
which could be a shadow from anything.
Or maybe like some sort of digital interference.
Yep.
Like they'll be like some sort of weird artifacting on the video and they'll be like, "Well, we don't know what did that."
But no conclusive evidence, right?
I don't think they've ever produced
it's all
anything
anecdotal.
Yeah.
It's all them like, "Oh, man, it just got really cold."
Well, and the problem too is like who is qualified enough to say, "Oh yeah, that's a real ghost."
Right.
You know, they right. can say it's a real ghost, and they can get a bunch of people together
well,
who are like, yeah, that's a ghost.
You and I both know who's qualified to make those calls.
It's too bad they're throwing parties for a bunch of children.
Aww.
Well, all the while, slime is under the building.
Whoa, nice. Too hot to handle, too cold to hold.
Too hot to handle. Cold to hold. They called the Ghostbusters and the end control. Had a throwing party for a bunch of children. Well, all the while, the slime was under the building. So they packed up and grew, got a grip, came equipped, grabbed their proton packs off the back, and they split. Found out about the Beagle, the master of evil. Try to battle my boys? That's not legal. They're in control. You know it.
The movie world is replete
mm-hmm.
with awesome ghost stuff.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters being one of the best.
Yeah.
Because it marries the comedy with the ghost. And there's some creepy ghost stuff.
Yeah.
Especially at the very beginning
the
of Ghostbusters.
The opening of Ghostbusters is, yeah, super creepy.
Freaked me out. Slimer is sort of the mascot mm-hmm. for ghosts in those movies, right?
I think an unexpected breakout star, yeah. really.
Well, you know, kids could really enjoy that character. Mm-hmm. One, because of the food stuff, right? Like, the first time you see him, he's, like, trying to eat stuff, and it's hilarious. Yeah. Things are just going through him. But then he slimes Venkman. And I think as a kid, you're like, that's awesome. That's hilarious.
Slime is awesome when you're a kid.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
in all forms.
And actually, I mean, that Slimer's the first ghost that they successfully trap.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. He kicks off the montage
yeah,
of successful
you're right.
ghost busting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's the signature ghost, basically.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's not surprising that he would then become kind of the favorite ghost character of yeah. many a child. I mean, and we talked about it before, but he then was used to launch Ecto Cooler.
Yeah.
Which is
he's the mascot
the best high C ever made.
I believe
Ghostbusters, I mean, we don't need to go way into it because we could probably do a whole episode about Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's like right at the top as far as those ghost movies are concerned. I mean, it depends, I suppose, what you want out of your ghost movie, right?
Yeah.
If you want action, comedy, and scares... Ghostbusters,
yeah.
Right?
I think, yeah, for the mass audience, Ghostbusters is it.
And I would say another movie that falls in that same category would be The Frighteners.
Oh, man, The Frighteners is great.
And that has a lot... That's along the lines of Ghostbusters is having comedy,
yeah.
some action, and some great scares.
Yeah. And that's actually loosely inspired by real stuff, too.
Oh, is it?
Sort of, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, like, they make allusions to, like, Charles Starkweather.
Mm.
And there's another story. I can't remember exactly what the circumstances are, but it's sort of a similar thing involving, like, a hospital setting.
Huh.
Hospitals tend to be very popular,
yeah.
at least in movies.
Well, I mean,
partially in real life, too.
Like, with that, like with Frighteners, the idea is that there was a killing spree that happened in the hospital. Mm. The other thing is hospitals, people just die in hospitals all the time,
right? Yeah.
Right? Somewhat, sometimes unexpectedly, sometimes before their time.
Mm.
And that usually is sort of the catalyst for becoming a ghost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or can be. But yeah, Frighteners, that final scene takes place in that hospital. Michael J. Fox's last movie, I think.
Was it?
Before he did Spin City.
Huh.
I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right, maybe.
And he's awesome in it.
Yeah.
Everyone's great in it.
Yeah. There's a great... It really does sort of balance kind of the madcap vibe, yeah. but also there's a darkness to it.
Oh, there's a... there are some really creepy moments in that movie.
Jeffrey Combs is incredible in that.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
But that is, if you haven't seen The Frighteners, that is a quality movie.
It's a good flick
to go see. What are some other ghost movies? What about just like scary ghost movies? The Haunting.
Yes.
The first
we
Haunting.
Talked about that in The Creeps.
Yeah.
We talked about the original Haunting.
Right. Because it utilizes your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never see anything.
Which is typically the best way to do it. Yeah, in a movie anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that works for Creeps.
Yeah.
I love, like, that sort of traditional Victorian ghost story. I like any movie where there's, like, a seance scene or something.
Uh-huh.
And an old creepy house.
Okay.
And there's usually some sort of mystery involved where somebody did something with somebody's sister and then buried them in the attic. I guess you wouldn't bury somebody in an attic. Semantics.
Ghost That's pretty
semantics.
Good, though.
Yeah. But yeah, I love all those movies. Like, there's a movie called The Innocents,
uh-huh.
where there's a nanny looking after these two kids, and there was there's a graveyard in the grounds,
in the attic,
and she thinks that she keeps seeing somebody in the attic
where they bury people.
Yeah, right.
she thinks she keeps seeing somebody,
yeah, a figure, and they're like, no one's here, it's just you.
Oh man, those kids.
Which actually that movie inspired The Others.
Oh, I never saw that.
Nicole Kidman, really underrated ghost movie.
It's actually good.
It's pretty good. Oh, yeah.
All right.
I think, and that one,
there's
a twist. There is a twist. There's a twist to it. That's the thing. Lately, there's always a twist.
There's always a twist.
And it was inspired by The Sixth Sense, which I think is a quality ghost movie.
That's a ghost movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one has its moments of creepiness for sure. I didn't particularly like it, but.
Neither did I.
But it was, it is definitely a ghost movie.
Mm-hmm.
He sees dead people.
He does. Which we would qualify as ghosts.
Yeah. what's that movie where this couple goes on vacation to this old castle and there's ghosts in the castle? I think Steve Guttenberg is in it.
High Spirits.
Yeah. That movie I remember being pretty great.
Yeah.
Is Peter O'Toole in that?
I think so, yeah.
There
are a lot of great ghost movies from the late 70s and early 80s, which is really when all great movies were made.
Okay.
But The Changeling, we may have mentioned that on the Creeps episode. Have you seen that? Mm-mm. The Changeling with George C. Scott.
Mm-mm.
I think it's, yeah. He's like a pianist, and his family, something happens in the opening of the movie. I'm not going to say what.
All right.
He moves away.
Okay.
And moves into this house, and it's a creepy old house, and he's all by himself, and he keeps hearing things in the attic. And then he sees, there's a great scene where a ball comes down the stairs.
What kind of ball?
Like a bouncy ball, like, you know, rubber ball or whatever. And there's allegedly nobody in the house.
Right.
And this ball just comes boom, boom, boom down the stairs. Very, very creepy. And of course there's more going on there, or there's a story behind the house.
Yeah.
There's more to the house and its legacy than what he knows going in, of course. But it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what makes it, and this goes for any good ghost movie, mm-hmm. This is the 1-2 punch. It's not so much about the twist ending, like the twist ending of Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Is one, I don't think it works because it's too obvious.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Well,
like it's very,
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was obvious at the beginning. Maybe you did, but I think the majority of people didn't see it coming.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I think people ignored it. That's what I'm going to go through. I think they knew it and they said, "Nope, that's I'm going to ignore that and go through the movie."
Because he says, "I see dead people," and he immediately follows it with, "They don't know that they're dead."
Right. Well, I just feel like it's like he gets, what's his face, gets shot in the very beginning of the movie.
Right.
And you don't see what happens to him.
Right.
So I feel like it's sort of, in the next shot you see, he's like going to see this kid. I don't think it works because it doesn't scare you, or it doesn't provide an additional layer to the ghost itself.
Mm-hmm.
What happens what I think makes for a really good ghost story twist is when somebody believes that something is attributable to a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
They uncover something they didn't know about,
mm-hmm.
and it's totally based in the real world, you know. And it usually involves somebody killing somebody else, or somebody dying, and somebody trying to cover it up, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But there's some real world motivation where a human being is doing something else. And they're not supposed to, it's not supposed to be known, and the main character uncovers it.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that's the twist.
Yeah.
And then the real twist is that, no, there is a ghost.
Yeah.
There has been a ghost all along.
Yeah.
And maybe the ghost is pushing you to make this discovery, or maybe they're actually just as threatening as the human force. That's a good ghost story twist.
Okay.
Somebody finding out, spoiler,
that they're a ghost
is not a good twist.
No.
You know? Because it doesn't take you anywhere else.
If anything, it takes away anything that's actually scary.
It does. It completely undermines everything you've seen.
Yeah.
It's a cop out, I think.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of great ghost story movies that follow that mold where you something is legitimately real, and then there's also the ghost lair. And then there are the movies where you
don't... The ghost lair.
The ghost lair. Then there are the movies where you don't know.
Oh, you don't,
it's totally ambiguous.
Yeah.
There's the suggestion that it could be real. There's the suggestion that it could be a ghost.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest example of that, the best example... I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to call it. Best ghost story ever. The Shining.
Oh, The Shining.
The ambiguity comes from the fact that you don't have a credible perspective in the movie to glob onto. So,
glom onto. Yeah,
there's no credible perspective for you to side with. You can't take anything at face value. Everyone's perspective is compromised in that movie.
Jack Torrance is insane.
Arguably.
The kid is damaged.
Mm-hmm.
The wife...
completely out of her mind. I mean, I think she's stressed to the point where she can't be... You can't call her viewpoint.
So what you're saying is that if you could like turn invisible and then go into the hotel and watch the events take place, all you may see is a dude going nuts trying to kill his family. Or you might see blood spilling out of a elevator. You might see a creepy pair of twins,
most likely,
right? You could see all these paranormal events, but not necessarily.
Or you could see absolutely nothing happen at all. You could see a family that's there and they just go about their business, and but inside the mind of a kid there's something crazy going on. Or
what,
maybe you go there and there's nobody there.
Yeah,
maybe there's nothing happening. There are no people, there are no ghosts.
That's a stretch.
Maybe
that last one would be like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, I mean, if you were invisible, you walk in there, you'd be like, well, there's nothing happening here. You'd probably leave. You certainly wouldn't hang around for 2.5 hours or an entire winter. I mean,
that's good though. You're right, that is a very ambiguous movie.
Yeah,
in many different ways, as far as like what's really going on there,
which is the greatest thing about ghosts, because you don't know ever.
Yeah, you don't.
You never have a solid
really
answer.
Know because they won't tell you.
Yeah, they're too busy yelling.
That's all they do.
That sounded like the Death Star.
It did. Okay, I have a question about ghosts. This is going back to just ghosts in general, not movie ghosts. We nearly always a ghost is haunting a house most of the time. What are the weirdest things a ghost has haunted? Like, could a ghost haunt like a cup?
I think so. I mean, at least in the movies, it can. There was a whole series of Amityville movies ghosts were haunting mirrors and clocks. And
no,
things.
I'm asking about...
But like legit stories?
Legit.
Can...
You know, you told a story the other night of ghosts haunting a park.
Yeah.
That's different.
I guess. I mean, it's still a physical space. It's not an object.
It's weird to see a ghost not in a house.
I guess so. I guess we are sort of conditioned that ghosts... Most
like houses
frequently. Well, but that's people though, I think. That probably goes back to the idea. It's much easier for us to wrap our minds around the residual existence of something in a place where people spent a lot of their time.
If you're a ghost, what are you going to haunt?
If I had my choice?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'd be at Disney World all the time.
I'd haunt an arcade, I think.
All right. But would you haunt a game, a specific game? Because I think that's the distinction there. Like, and it's kind of fun if you go with that. Like, you could mess with people's scores.
See, that reminds me of a really creepy story that from the internet, actually, that I don't know if it showed up on 4chan initially or elsewhere. And I think I sent you this.
Yeah, the Zelda one, right?
Yeah, the story goes that this kid went to a garage sale and found a copy of The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, which is one of the Nintendo 64 Zelda games.
Yeah.
And he went home and, you know, put it into his Nintendo 64 and started playing. And there was a save file left over on it, you know, which isn't out of the ordinary since it was used.
Right.
I think it said Ben.
Hmm.
And
which is a creepy name. Let's be honest. The creepy name.
Yeah, creepy people.
Ghostly name.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're named Ben.
Yeah. Come on.
Just take it to heart right now. Just assume that everyone thinks you're creepy because of your name.
So, I think when in the telling of the story, he says, you know, I felt compelled to leave that save file be, you know, let it be as it is. So he just went to a new clean save file, started a game. So as he's playing the game, initially, like, it's just normal and he's, you know, playing Zelda, but then strange things start to happen in the game where it's freaking him out, and it's just like the game will freeze up or like the lines of dialogue, all the dialogue in this game is written, it's all, you know, you read it on screen. Yeah. And lines of it is strange or nonsensical. Sometimes, like, seems to address the player in a weird way. And so the guy then does some, he goes back to where he bought the game, the house that was, you know, had the garage sale. And he asks, you know, whose game was this? And eventually he finds out that the previous owner was a kid named Ben, and the kid had drowned. And so he goes back to playing the game and he thinks, okay, what happens if I play the Ben file?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things get really creepy, to where the game is just acting like it shouldn't. And it's literally addressing the player, and he's seeing things. It all takes place within the game itself. Nothing, like, there's never, like, it never goes away from the game, what he's playing, you know what I mean?
Right, it never affects him in his real life.
Well, and as he's playing the game, it's not like he suddenly sees a picture of a person, you know? It's always within the confines of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he always sees the characters in the game, and it's them that are doing things that are strange. But I read this, and it really creeped me out, and I think it's an interesting new kind of haunting idea, you know, the haunting of digital media in some way, and video games, to haunt a video game and what that could mean. And
yeah,
it's just another place where you can create an unexpected situation, and it can be innately scary, you know? Yeah. I'd like to see some more sort of ghost stories with games and not in movies, but this, like, sort of within, I think the internet is really good for that kind of thing, you know, because it feels like a real account.
Yeah, yeah. It feels very first person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about a podcast? Do you think a podcast could be
haunted? A haunted podcast?
A ghost in the podcast? What if when people listen to this, they hear all sorts of weird things?
Weird ghostly
voices
sounds
that don't belong to you or me.
What would that go? What would it sound like?
Put it in the hour.
We'll do it.
Okay.